morning to each one of you. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's good to see each one of you. Hope you're enjoying this nice warm winter we're having. This is kind of unusual, I hear. I've only been here for 3 years, so I don't know what normal is, but I'm told this is not normal. But anyway, God, He gives us different things, and this year He's given us a mild winter, and that's okay. So for our sermon text for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany will be from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We'll read verses 21 through 28 of Mark chapter 1. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel if you're able to? We read this in the name of our Lord. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath He entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Amen. Please be seated. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This year, the calendar gospel readings are, a lot of them are from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is always an interesting gospel to go through, because a lot of the accounts are very brief, and a lot of times you need to go into the other Gospels to pull in more information about your text, because Mark is just such a fast-moving narrative of the Gospel of Jesus. And so it's always interesting, though. I love Mark. Mark is a book of action. You go from one thing to another very quickly. And our text then begins by telling us that when they entered into Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is a very significant city in Bible history, and it shows up quite a bit as you read through the Gospels. You'll see this name come up a lot, Capernaum, the village of Nahum, you know, this place that Jesus spent a lot of time. It was the place that Jesus actually lived. He lived here in Capernaum. It tells us in Matthew 4 that Jesus left Nazareth, and he went and lived in Capernaum. So he spent quite a bit of time there. This is the hometown of four of the disciples, the fishermen disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, and John lived here. And also, they believe Matthew did too. And so there's a lot that happened in this town. Peter's mother-in-law was healed here. This is the place where that Roman centurion's servant was healed. You probably remember the story of the paralyzed man being let down the roof, where they took off the tiles of the roof and let this guy down into the house to be healed. Happened here in this town, Capernaum. Another thing that happened here quite often that shows up in our text is that Jesus would teach in their synagogue. So they would have these services every Sabbath day. They would come sort of like we're here today in church, right? We're hearing the word of God. Well, they would do the same thing, except for the Jewish people would do it on the Sabbath day. they would go and they would pray, they would hear the scripture read and expounded, and that's what was happening. Jesus would teach in their synagogue. And it tells us in another place that this was his custom. So Jesus, he would do this week after week. And now this in itself is quite a thing for us just to stop and think about for a second, that Jesus would take the time to go into the synagogue and teach them. You know, the Son of God himself, he would spend this time with them every week to teach them. This is an amazing thing because it shows Jesus' love and his compassion for them. In Hebrews, it tells us that he has compassion on the ignorant, those who don't know. Jesus has compassion. And so that's what we see happening here. Jesus' compassion, his care and his concern for them, that they would be taught the truth, that he's willing to go right into their presence and teach them. Even if it meant that he would be chased out, which did happen actually on one occasion in Nazareth. Jesus was preaching there and teaching in their synagogue, and they drove him out because they didn't like what he was saying. But do you think that stopped Jesus? It didn't stop Jesus. Jesus kept doing this. He kept going into their presence, going into the synagogue and teaching them because he loved them. He cared about them. He had compassion on the ignorant. And so this is amazing, and there's a lesson in here for us. Okay, because when we come across somebody who we think is ignorant of the truth, we usually do one of two things. First thing is we just dismiss them completely. That's what it seems like we tend to do. If someone doesn't agree with us or we think that they don't have a grasp on what the truth is, we dismiss them altogether. And we say, okay, you can be in a group over there by yourself. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We're going to separate ourselves from you. So we'll either dismiss them, or the other thing we'll do is we'll pick a fight with them, right? And we'll start arguing. We'll start defending ourselves and trying to shout them down, in other words, and trying to bring them into our way of thinking by force. But Jesus does neither of those things. Jesus teaches. Jesus has compassion. And so the lesson here is that when it comes to teaching, Jesus gives us a wonderful example of persistence. He keeps going, and this is his custom. He would go there. Even when there was opposition to his teaching, he continued to love them and to teach them. He's persistent. And he's patient, and he's loving. And so that's a lesson for us also, that we just keep at it. Doesn't matter how things are going, if things are against us, we feel, or whatever the case may be, you just keep at it, because that's what Jesus did, and we know that the truth will win out in the end. And Jesus is the very embodiment of the truth, and so he's there just patiently teaching them. And so that lesson of Jesus in the synagogue is just, in itself, just the fact that he's there and all the things around that is a lesson for us in itself. And so then we're told that the people are blown away by the teaching of Jesus. We would probably say they're blown away. It says that they're astonished. They were astonished at his teaching. And the reason that they were astonished or very surprised is because this is something like they have never heard before. He taught them with authority and not as the scribes. In our scripture reading, we heard from Deuteronomy how God told Moses that he was going to put his words into this prophet's mouth. He was going to raise up a prophet and he was going to put his words into this prophet's mouth. That's what's happening here. Jesus is speaking the very words of God. The scribes would get up and they would just repeat the things that the prophets had written in the scriptures and all that kind of thing. But Jesus is the Word of God, and he's speaking the Word of God with authority because this is his Word. Just like Jesus says in the 12th chapter of John, that I have not spoken on my own authority. My Father himself told me what to speak. So this is the authority of the Father, of God the Father himself. Jesus is speaking on that authority. And so that's what they're witnessing here. And that's why this is so amazing to them. They're absolutely just blown away by this teaching. This is something new they have never experienced. Because Jesus is, he's the primary source. It's like when people do research, they have what they call primary and secondary sources. The primary source is like raw information, like the first hand or direct connection to the thing that they're studying. And then you have second hand information that doesn't have like a direct connection. Example of this maybe, my grandpa was in World War II. He was a World War II vet. And he spent a lot of time over in India. He was deployed over to India. And he worked on airplane engines. He assembled airplane engines for P-51 Mustangs. And he would tell us stories about this. He didn't tell us very often, but occasionally, you know, you'd get Grandpa to tell you a war story. And it was so interesting to sit there and listen to Grandpa tell us about, you know, actually being there in World War II and all this stuff. You know, then I could go read the same thing in a history book, and I could read about, you know, that area in the war, the CBI region, and all this stuff, and, you know, it's interesting, but, yeah, it's secondhand information. Jesus is the primary source. He's like the real thing, and that's what's happening here. Jesus in the synagogue, he's telling them how it actually is. He's giving them the actual story, the Word of God. He's the primary source. Now, what better person to teach about God than God himself? God is in their presence. God is speaking to them. He's the authority on the matter. And it tells us that this day that Jesus was here in the synagogue preaching and teaching to them, it says immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. You know, this word immediately. I've heard Pastor Jesse tell you this, and I'll repeat it, that this shows up a lot in the Gospel of Mark. This is like one of Mark's signature words that he always comes back to. And it doesn't really have like a whole lot of meaning, but it's just like his little way of telling us the story. So he's just like, nope, next part of the story. It says, immediately in the synagogue, there was this man with an unclean spirit. We don't know much about this man. We don't know his name. We don't know the nature of his unclean spirit, what that looked like. But we just know that it was an unclean demon, actually. In Luke's gospel, it tells us that this was a demon. So that much we do know. It was evil. It wasn't good. It was from the devil. He had an unclean spirit. And the fact that he's here in the synagogue also for us is a great encouragement, because it tells us that if you have problems, don't stay away from church. Don't stay away from God's people. Don't stay away from the place where prayer happens and where God's word is read. You know, you come there. You be like this man with the unclean spirit. You come into the presence of Jesus, because Jesus can help. And as we'll see, Jesus does help this man. He helps this man in a very powerful way. And it tells us here that the man cried out. And it's very interesting, because it says the man cried out. But when you look at what it says, you realize that it's the unclean spirit, actually, that's speaking through the man. Maybe this makes us uncomfortable, because it would be nice to think that demons don't even exist. We might want to think that, but even if they do, we wouldn't want to think that they would have this much power over human beings, that they could actually control their voice and everything like this. But that's what's happening here. And this tells us that the reality is that the devil is much more powerful than human beings. He has power. And this demon was controlling this man. And on our own, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance against the devil on our own. But we're not on our own, are we? It's a good thing we have Jesus. And it's a good thing that this man had Jesus, because Jesus had power over the unclean demon. As Jesus enters the room, the demons know that instantly that somebody with a greater power has entered the room. And that's shown us by what they say. These demons start crying out from, or this demon, singular, starts crying out from the inside of this man. And he says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." They know who Jesus is. They know his power. They know that it's now time for them. And this demon knows it's time for it to face the music now, because Jesus has more power than it. It's interesting how much this demon actually knows about Jesus. Not only who he is, but seems to know that Jesus is going to destroy it. So he says, "Have you come here to destroy us?" How did he know that? Why was he saying that? "Have you come here to destroy us?" It's like he was expecting that this is going to happen. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, if you remember the story of the fall, what happened there? God told the devil that the seed of the woman will crush your head. See, the devil knows that his time is limited. And he knew that eventually there would be a human being who would be born who would crush his head, who would destroy him. The devil and these demons had been used to having their way with human beings. They could go and they could control them and do whatever they wanted. But they knew that there was this one human being who was going to destroy them. And they knew who Jesus was. They said, "I know who you are. This is the Holy One. This is that one who was going to destroy us." And they're wondering, is this going to happen now, or when is this going to happen? Jesus tells the demon, he says, "Be silent." Or in other words, "Shut up and come out of him." And there's no other choice but that demon has to listen. It obeys what Jesus says, because Jesus has power. Jesus has power over evil. By the way, Jesus still has power over evil. Jesus has power over the evil that is in this world. We look around at the evil around us, the evil within us, and we sometimes wonder if this evil has more power than, we know it has more power than us and than this world. But what we need to be reminded is that Jesus has power over all this evil. And so he can command this unclean spirit to be quiet and to come out of him, and it has to listen. And the unclean spirit, tells us, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. So it had to listen. Jesus, he commands, and it happens. Just like he taught them with authority, he was there in the temple or in the synagogue teaching them with authority. Now he's demonstrating his authority and his power by this command to the demon to come out, and it has to obey. And the demon leaves the man. The man is actually, you know, shaking and convulsing and shrieking, yelling with a loud voice. And Luke gives us the extra detail that the demon did the man no harm. He did him no harm because Jesus is there. Jesus protects the man from this evil that the demon tried to do. That's because Jesus has power over evil. Jesus has authority, and Jesus is victorious over evil. The people are just left to marvel at this. They're amazed, and they just simply say, "What is this? What is this? A new teaching with authority." You know, this is quite a thing for them. You realize that they're probably used to coming to the synagogue every week, and just things had this nice little routine. You know, they would go there for the service, however the order was. They would hear the prayer. They'd maybe sing. They would hear the scripture read. Then they'd go home, and that's how things were. And it was very just fixed. That's how it was. Then Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up, and he actually does something. He helps this man. He throws out the evil. And they're left to marvel at this. That this man who actually tells them something, he speaks for God, and he actually does something that only God could do to take away this man's unclean spirit. And so they said, even the unclean spirits obey him. He commands them, and they listen to him. You see this authority he has? Do you see this power that this man has? It tells us that his fame spread everywhere throughout all the region of Galilee. That whole area, people heard about this. As you can imagine, this thing had never happened before. And the word continues to spread. Continued to spread even down through the ages. Even to us. We've heard about Jesus. After all, that's why you're here today. You know something about Jesus Christ. You know that he has power over evil and over sin and over death. You've come to hear about Jesus. Jesus, his fame, his power. This is the only human being who has ever been able to conquer evil. And he's done it not for himself, but he's done it for all of us. This is the good news. This is the Holy One of God. His power, his authority, it sends all these demons to flight. It conquers death itself, sin, the power of the devil, everything. Jesus came and he took that all away. He saved us. He saved us from this power. And he gave us his power. He gave us his power. He gave us his salvation. So brothers and sisters, what we're talking about today is your salvation. We're talking about what Jesus did for you and what he did for each one of us. That we have victory in Jesus Christ. We have complete victory in Jesus Christ. He has all authority. As he says in the last chapter of Mark, that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. This has been given. He has given you this. You are washed. You are forgiven. And you are delivered from the power of the devil and from death itself. You're delivered by, not by your own power, but by the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for what Jesus did that day in the synagogue as he demonstrated your words and your power to the people. We are thankful that he has done this great work on the cross in saving each one of us. Lord, help us to never forget this, to never forget that we're your children and we exist by the power of Jesus Christ. And we have this life in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.